things that are done, things that we do. But it is not done as a work as emanating from me, but it comes from God. I hope I made that clear. To me, that's so important. And that is at the essence of what's wrong today with Christianity, is that they are not really reaching for the prize. They're reaching, they think they have the prize. And so they've ended up being like those that need not a physician. I said, but Paul, we believe in Jesus for salvation and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but you didn't believe in everything about Jesus. Your faith stopped. It's like you said, oh, I'll run the race, and you ran 10 feet, and then you sat down and say, I win. I am victorious with Christ that gives me the victory. I'll just sit here and wait for the award ceremony. You got to go around the track first. You can't run. I need something to eat. Tired of running. They do their works to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. Phylacteries. They were these things in the law. In the Shroud of Turin, you can observe that Jesus is wearing them. Well, you have to have good pictures. There's an excellent book, The Shroud of Turin. I think it's called An Adventure of Discovery by Wanger and Wanger. And they have some excellent studies on the other objects placed around the body of Christ. They would bind them on their heads. God says, you will bind them on your heads for a sign. And you'll bind them on your arms for a sign. They would bind these little leather packets that would contain scriptures. A little tiny one on the head and a larger one on the arm. And to me, the idea of phylacteries is a beautiful parable of the Old and the New Covenant. Because in the Old Covenant, they would bind the phylacteries to their flesh. And it was bound to their head because the law was something from outside of them, trying to get in, trying to make them right. It was there to remind them to do according to the will of God, to remember the law of God. But in the New Covenant, we don't need to write little phylacteries on our heads and bind them to our arms and bind them to our foreheads, little leather packets containing the scriptures. I don't have to carry a Bible around in my hand all the time because the Word of God, the righteousness of God is written into my heart. It is in me to obey and do. It's about what we do, not about the outward exhibits we make of our faith. You know, but what happened is, you know, if you look at the example of a phylactery from the first century, it's like an inch, less than an inch long, maybe a centimeter or two, and tiny, tiny little scripture packets, and it would have gone on your head, and it would have been, looked no different than a small piece of jewelry bound up there. You know what I mean? Just very simple. And they would wear them to prayer and so on and so forth, and the Jews of today do too, but what do? They have these boxes that are like 2 inches square up on their head, and that's where it's gone. They make broad their phylacteries. That was a trend that was going on in Jesus' day. Bigger phylacteries, bigger man of God. You know, and it was this sort of, the outward observance became, oh, and today, what would I liken it to? What would I liken it to? They make giant their churches, and they make broad their aisles, and they make fat their pulpits. I mean, they increase the members of their bands. They have bigger bands. They have bigger auditoriums. They have more classrooms, bigger buildings, a new way to do church. Is it not that the old way was so great either? It's not a new way to do church. It's the same old way of doing church, except now expanded and enhanced in ways that I see no profit in. It's not, you know, they're making the outward part of the church better, improving the external. But what about the inward workings of people's lives? How is that being improved? Not a whit. Oh, it is. We love church. Yeah, they love church more. Great. They like to go more. These phylacteries are much more attractive. Look how people can see me in them. I want to go to the big church around the corner where everyone's going. That old church next door. Oh, it's so boring. Only like 20 old people go there. And those old churches, they deserve to die because they're not feeding the people either. They've become stale. You know, and so people have gone to someplace that's more sensational. But if they were really being fed, if they were really being raised up in righteousness and in the doctrine of Christ, they would never leave. Well, they would leave. People would leave who were not of God. And maybe that's the problem because initially, if you were to try to change a church, it would burst. You can't really do that. I don't even know why I'm talking about it because really, all of a sudden it ran into my mind, the old wineskins. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. Those things are meant to die. That which is old, waxes old, and is about to die. They enlarged the borders of their garments. The Jews had fringes on their garments. It was another one of these signs for them as a nation. This is why I don't follow the old law. I don't put fringes on my garments. I don't put phylacteries on my heads because I belong to the new covenant. The law is written in my heart. The old covenant was always external to us because God was external to us. But now God is within us. The kingdom is within us. The kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but an inward kingdom. It is going to come down to earth, but for now it is an inward kingdom among those who are the chosen of God, among those who are becoming the sons of God. So they had these outward expressions of their right, of their, you know, showing their righteousness. And I tell you what, we look at big churches the same way. Oh, look at all the people. They must be doing something right. God is blessing them. Look how God is blessing them. It must be 5,000 or 6,000 people go to that church. Wow, what a blessing. We think that they who do bigger things are more blessed. And it's a Moses syndrome again. You know, Moses had multitudes following him. Jesus had multitudes following him. And I feel like in the modern church, they're always on this sort of, they always are trying to replicate that. They always want to gather together multitudes of people because they think there's something virtuous about that. If I can get 10,000 people to hear me and I'll preach the gospel, you know, like a Billy Graham crusade, you know, you get all these tens of thousands of people in the stadium. And somehow it's like, wow, isn't this awesome? Look at the work that's being done. The harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. But, you know, and beware the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. There's lots of leaven in large groups. And really, there's not a lot that can be done. I have pity on the multitudes of people because they are so ill-served by the ministries that try to serve them. And the ministries that could serve them, the workers are few. There are so many people ready to hear the word of God. But remember, though, many are called, but few are chosen. I don't lament it too much because I know God's will is being done. And there is not one of his chosen that is going to slip through his fingers. I have a great confidence in that. When God decides to save you, you get saved. There's no one whom God has chosen for salvation who's not going to be saved. Well, what about Judas? He wasn't chosen for salvation. He was chosen to be an apostle and to betray him. He was chosen for the purpose of betraying him, to fulfill that. So I said, you can fulfill the people like the scribes and Pharisees, or you can fulfill something better. You know, never be bogged down in the way things are. Predestination is what God sees. But what do we see? We see nothing. We're blind. We can't see the future. We don't know where we're going, so we have to make decisions. We have to make choices. We do make choices. Now, God knows the result of our choices and what we're going to choose before we choose it. But that doesn't change the fact that we have to do these things. We have to choose. Of course we do. Yeah, but people get ridiculous because they don't understand the power of God. They don't understand the power of God. That he's strong. He saves. He knows before it's done. If I'm saved, he knew me before I was born.